It is time for Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio with Thorin Christian Totter. She joins us on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Are you all set for the big votes that take place in New York today?
As ready as you can be, right?
Yep. It is the all the school budgets go up for vote today in New York, up and down the Hudson Valley. So I have to say, before we get to it, I give credit to all these administrators and school boards throughout not only New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts. They've managed to keep the school year together with a semblance of consistency, and they all deserve a great deal of credit. Okay, we'll move on from that. I love this story because my brother Mark was a big, big Plymouth guy when we were growing up. My uncle Glenn loved supercars. He had a Comet GT. He had a friend by the name of Chiefy Sandrini who lived in Canaan who had a GTO. Mm-hmm. But my brother always loved and still to this day loves. He has a classic Dodge Charger, as a matter of fact. You've got a great story, a Columbia County classic, the legendary 69 Hemi Roadrunner.
Yes, I learned about this car a few years ago from Eric Clark, who is the owner, and he told me all about it, the long history of it, how it was chased by the troopers or the police and all this. And so for this issue, we thought it would be fitting to have his daughter, who has been our intern and our staff for a few years now, interview him about this particular car and tell us the whole legend of it. And so that's from a very personal perspective, and that's exactly what she did and did a wonderful job of it.
And, you know, the thing about American muscle cars, they really created a separate market in auctions for cars. They've come a long, long way. In a few minutes, we'll be speaking with Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. Later on this month, the last remaining built Ford GT that was part of the Fords that defeated Ferrari and that historic, historic race, which turned around the racing hierarchy, that's coming up for auction. But when you look at American muscle cars, it's amazing. You can get into them cheaper than most other things, and they're worth a lot of money. But what I found with most people that own like this, they're not in it for the money. They just love the car. And yeah, probably down the road, their family will sell it to make a lot of money and everything. But they just love to tinker, to bring them back to the way they were, and to own them.
These guys and gals are just fanatics about these things. And as you said, they love them. And it's not monetary. It's purely because of the passion for the vehicle. And I found that, you know, my husband's into cars. We, you know, go to car shows. And, you know, I'd known Eric for years. And these folks just, you know, they have a particular either, you know, it's Ford or Chevy or Porsche or whatever it may be. And then they usually levitate towards a specific car within that family. And but like Eric, you know, he's a collector. He's, you know, I can't even tell you how many cars he has. And this is obviously one of his prides and joys. And he loves telling the story about it because it's so legendary.
Have you ever been to the Falls Village Car Show?
Oh yeah, we've been.
What a great little car show that is. They have things from all over the place, and my favorite car there is there's a 41 Lincoln Continental. That's it's a light yellow, almost like a bird yellow, and with a white and leather, a yellow leather interior. That if I had the money, I would try to buy. Just, you know, these cars are just, they're a part of American history, so it's kind of cool. And so that's a great story. So thank you for that.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
On to the next story, which is kind of cool. Nature's Road Trip.
Yep, this is by Caleb May, another one of our sometimes writers, sometimes interns. Caleb is an avid birder, outdoorsman, and he's actually headed off to college this fall to study that. But he, for this, because it's our transportation issue, he thought it would be take a little flight with the birds and talk about the birds and how they migrate and who we can, you know, which birds we can look out for in our region right now and in the coming weeks. Of course, you know, this issue has been out for 2 weeks now, so, you know, it started end of April kind of, and he talked about the season coming up and just to kind of the story of the birds and how it is and why that they go where they go and when they come back and what to look for.
That is Nature's Road Trip. Of course, we are talking with our Christian daughter. We every Tuesday we take a look at what's in the Main Street magazine, mainstreetmag.com on the web. Of course, you can get it anywhere for free at a million. It's not lots of locations throughout the tri-state region. We talked about Colter Rule and his motorcycle last week.
Let's
move one step further down to the covered bridge in West Cornwall. And that is the e-bike craze that has hit the northwest corner because of the folks in Cornwall.
Yeah. Dominique took a trip down there and took a ride. And she shares her experience with us. And, you know, personally, I've heard of the e-bikes and seen a couple around, so it was kind of neat, you know, to hear of her experience and how it works and you know, going up hills, how it kicks in and what to look out for. And so, you know, from that personal experience, it kind of like, at least when I was reading, I was like, oh, maybe this could be something fun to do. You know, I'm not a huge biker, let alone you have to go up those steep hills. So I was like, oh, maybe this is something for a person like me.
Give me a Vespa. I'd be dangerous.
Yeah,
dangerous on an e-bike or on a motorcycle. I'd end up killing myself and somebody else. The next story is simply you have to go to the website just for the picture that is associated with it. It's called On a Steel Horse I Ride, and there is a dynamite picture of a motorcycle going off into the sunset. Just absolutely a stunning picture.
Yeah, that's one of the folks who is interviewed in the article. But John, obviously with the theme, he talked to a few motorcycle folks, and they kind of shared their experience of how they got into it and what they love about it and some of their friend groups that ride together and kind of what that experience brings to them. And, you know, to some people, it's salvation, it's freedom, it's inner peace. And so it's kind of fun to see that, you know, when you see bicycle or motorcycles pass you on the road, you know, some people think one thing or other, but then, you know, reading something like this, it makes you think, oh, well, this is, you know, this person's heaven, this is this person's escape, this is this person's pure joy. So there's so much more to it, as is with most things in life, than what you see. So it was kind of a nice piece just to see the personal perspective and kind of the routes that people take and the reasons why they do it.
You know what's great about your magazine, and this month it stands out even more, simply because I'm interested in cars. Okay, I mean, but when you take a theme, like you've taken transportation this month, when you take a theme, off that theme you get other themes, like there's groups of people that love to purchase and collect motor cars, but then your other theme is the people that love to buy motorcycles and actually ride them together, whether it's a fundraising event. I mean, you get these different sub-themes that go with these different titles that show you how you get a bunch of different personalities. You could get Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals and progressives, and if they're into that topic, which might be cars or motorbikes, they still form clubs.
For sure. And, you know, we've always been a non-political media source, even though we, you know, have some political profiles, but we make those human interest. And I feel like at the end of the day, you know, what you said is all true, but at the end of the day, it's human interest.
Yeah, and it's human interest around here. It's not because, of course, what happens locally is represented what happens nationally with these things. But
for sure.
But I get back to your coverage, and I love the picture of the railroad tracks. I didn't mention that last week when we spoke. From Main Street Magazine, but that is that's a dynamite picture because our area is totally tied in with the history of railroading.
For sure is. It's an integral part, and there are so many railroad junkies here that just love everything about it and are experts on everything about it.
Now, when you produce an issue like this, what's up next month? I mean, do you try to top yourselves each month, or do you just cut off each month and say, okay, we'll do what we do?
That's a good question. This is a conversation that we kind of have been having lately. Everything is cyclical, and you know, just like you, we deal with so many types of businesses around here. Anything from, you know, the single proprietor who does absolutely everything to the larger corporations that are around here. So dealing with those, you know, and talking to them, you know, because I'll get chatty with them just because I'm curious and I want to learn about their business. We found trends that, you know, when people are busy, what time of year. Like yesterday, Ashley was talking to one of the local guys at Irving Farm, and he was telling her he used to work for a local oil and propane company. And he said, oh, well, you know, February always used to be our slow month. And she was telling him, for us in the magazine, it's funny, you know, you have high months and then lower months. Like, since we started with the transportation theme for May, it's always been a very busy month for us, but it's also a mentality thing. Because a lot of people will kind of pull back during the winter months, you know, January, February into March sometimes, just because you get through Christmas, you get your credit card bill, the taxes, it's winter, and so people kind of hunker down. They start coming back out, and that also means for advertising, and just, you know, so that dictates the size of our magazine. March is our animal theme, which is always a very popular one. People start really gearing up in April and then in May, and then it's like the bottom falls out for June. And so we kind of go down a little bit in size for June, but then July, everyone is holding out for July because that's also our food and drink, but it's also a psychological thing. It's like people are in the middle of summer and it's a big hoorah, and then it crashes again in August because that's the last hoorah for everyone to try to get that last vacation in before they go to school in the fall. And so it's a funny thing, but every year, you know, to quote Steve Jobs, I stay hungry. I don't get comfortable. And so I push every month for us to do the very best that we can do. Sure, there have been a month here or two that we're just like, we had a big issue the month before. We're a little tired. You know, it's a lot of work. But still, every day, what are we doing? How are we doing this? How are we doing this better? Is what we're always trying to push for.
What's Main Street Magazine? And if you're not an underwriter and you want more information, mainstreetmag.com on the web. And Thorin, we'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds terrific. Let's enjoy the beautiful weather.
All right, you too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thorin Christendotter, Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio.